that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And that's just what that wheel has done. It is Saturday morning again and time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And hope you have your coffee, hope you have your Bible. The Wranglers are here. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to join us. So we will invite you to join us as well, Remnant, as we talk about current events and read from the Scriptures and share with you some things that have happened to us this past week. But good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And again, we say good morning to you, the Remnant. Fighting a little croaky voice this morning myself, so I'm going to yield to you guys this morning to run most of this, I think. But nice, brisk, 9-degree morning. Got the sunrise coming up in about 20 minutes. But it's a beautiful day here. It's a beautiful day when you know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful day every day. Well, John, we'll ask you if you'd open up in prayer, and where we go from there, who knows?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before you grateful for this time that you saw fit for us to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Lord, we do pray for wisdom and understanding and your direction as to where you'd like us to go this morning, Lord, regarding what benefits the remnant. And Lord, we just lift that up as a petition to you right now, Lord. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? As we see all around us the signs of Babylon fallen, Lord, we do continue to ask for grace and mercy for your people, the remnant, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Pray for the patriarchs of each household, Lord, that you would give them the wisdom and understanding Lord, that you would allow them to seek, to hear, and to obey the Holy Spirit, even though we may not understand what it is that you want us to do. And Lord, we stand on your promises that nothing but the blood of Jesus will protect us. And Lord, we plead that blood over your people right now. We ask you to put a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around us that no evil can penetrate. And we pray that, Lord, we'd be a shining light in this dark world. That in this new year, Lord, that's just started, we would continue to strive to come to that place of complete obedience. So that just like in the days of old, Lord, you would grant true Israel the victory before the battle even starts. Lord, we do continue to pray as well for those best gifts. Bring us to that place of complete obedience so that you can bestow upon your people those best gifts. Lord, those, all the gifts that your word promises to your people. Because we can see that the diseases and the plagues of Egypt are coming upon us. We can see that the Babylon is falling, Lord, just as we've prayed for years. And we can tell that through the Holy Spirit, our prayers are being pinpointed on exactly what it is that needs to be targeted. And Lord, we thank you for that guidance. We thank you for the gift of the press, Lord. We thank you for the printers that you've provided for this ministry, Lord. These new state-of-the-art printers that allow us to put the information out there to your people. We pray even now, Lord, for tomorrow's church service, that you prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls to receive the truths that will be disseminated tomorrow. Prepare us to properly partake of communion, Lord, as it's becoming more evident that time is running out. We pray for our loved ones, Lord, that have not yet seen the truth, that you would remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, and that they would fall upon their knees, Lord, and upon their faces and cry out for forgiveness. We pray for the remnant, Lord, if there be any bitterness or unforgiveness, that you would remove it. Lord, that you would cause us to lift one another up, Lord, not tear each other down and look for faults. Lord, we continue to pray for that pruning of the vine, Lord, the culling of the flock, that any sin in the camp would be removed and any hidden idols would be found and removed as well. Give us that strength that Israel once had, Lord. Give us that power and authority so that those that hate you and hate your people would once again fear them. That's our prayer and petition, Lord, and we thank you that your word says when two or more gathered, you're there also, Lord, and we claim that promise this morning. And we say, Lord Jesus, you are welcome. Bring your myriads of angels. Lord, give us more Holy Spirit and the strength and the power that comes with it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, we hope you're reading your Bible. If you are, we've sent the Bible reading plan out. It's also posted at the website, scriptures4america.org. And we've mailed it out to all those on the Scriptures for America Dragon Slayer mailing list. And I think it's in everybody's hands by now. And we're glad to be able to do that. And you know, we don't just do this to do it. It's to encourage you. It's to motivate you to do that very thing, to read your word. It's how we draw near to Him. It's one of the ways we abide in Him, so that He, it's one of the ways He abides in us, is the reading of the Word. And you know, I don't think that there's there's one chapter that's more important than other than another. They just continue to build and build. And you know, you may say, well, I read my Bible last year, and I say, well, praise the Lord for that. Read it again this year. As you prayed, John, if there's ever been a time in our history, at least in our lives, that we need to have the Word of God dwelling richly within us, it's now. If there's ever been a time that we need to have His wisdom, His understanding, His discernment, it's now. You know, we are seeing, as you said, John, the birth pangs. We're seeing the changes. We are seeing our prayers answered, and we're seeing Babylon falling. You know, it is. It, you know, if you read through Revelation, it talks about in 1 hour this happened. Well, you know, sometimes the symbology that's used, you know, that might be one day, 1 month, 1 year, one generation. There's many different definitions that can go with that. And I think in our generation, we are seeing it. We're seeing the confusion in D.C. because we're praying for there to be confusion in D.C. We're seeing people's eyes being opened to many different things. The gospel truth, the truth of the captivity that our people are in. We're seeing that happen. Anyway, and if you'll read your word, you will see it too. You really will. You really will. You know, and you might ask, well, how come everybody doesn't see it? You know, we don't know why He called us. Why it was our eyes that He opened. Why it was our ears that He unstopped. You know, why it was that it was us that He called. But if you read the Word, it gives you insight into it. Matthew 11 is part of the Bible reading for today, and Jesus Christ Himself says in verse 25, He says, "I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and have revealed them to infants." And so that gives you some insight there that, you know, that a lot of these things of the Bible, of Christ, of God Almighty, are hidden from those that are, as it says, the wise and intelligent. That should keep us from getting too proud and haughty as well. That it's the foolish that He calls according to the world standards, and not the wise and intelligent according to the world standards. And then the world's not going to understand it either. You read through Matthew 11 and you see that Christ gives the example of, when John the Baptist came, what did you see? You know, you saw a man out there dressed kind of rough and wild, and you didn't want anything to do with him. And then when you see me come, a little bit different than him, you didn't want anything to do with me. The world and the majority of those in it are going to reject him. They rejected John the Baptist, who he says in verse 14, John himself is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And you got so many that'll say, oh no, that wasn't Elijah, but Jesus Christ said it was, and the people rejected him. And you know, he who was to prepare the way, and then the majority of them rejected Jesus Christ himself, but not all of them. And that's why we keep on here. Didn't our pastor teach on that? You know, that's that job of Isaiah, is you keep putting it out. The world will reject it, but the remnant out there, they hear the truth, and it resonates within them, and it hits home, and they say, yes, yes, that's truth. That's what I want. And so we continue to put it out. You want that truth, you read your word, you'll get it. Well, that's my 2 minutes today, guys. It's over to you.
Well, and I just want to, again, say, you know, we talked a little bit about this, actually quite a bit about it last week. You know, and encourage people, hey, it's one thing to read your Bible, but it's another thing to apply it to your life. You know, and it's another thing to make correction. You know, now is the time. Read your Bible, but take in what you can, and, you know, and every time you read it, ask yourself, you know, how can I use this and how can I apply this to my life? How can this make me a better person? How can I be obedient to the Scripture? How can I do that thing? I mean, it's one thing to read it, and it's another thing to use it. I mean, it's like anything that you have. You can you can read it and you can take it for granted, or you can do nothing with it. You know, you can have an understanding of the Bible that's very well, but if you don't apply the principles of it to your life, then that's a completely different thing. So take what you learn, apply it to your life. Apply it. You know, I really enjoy reading Proverbs because you can every one of those Proverbs, there's 31 Proverbs in there. You can read one of them a day, and, you know, ask yourself when you're done reading Proverbs 1, Proverbs 4, Proverbs 5, you know, how can I apply this to my life? How can I apply this in dealing with somebody else? And, you know, that's the important thing. That's what you need to do.
And by doing that, you start to memorize them, too, and that's what's important is it'll start to come to mind when you're dealing with the situation that's reflected,
exactly.
By Proverbs.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And that's what that's one of the things that I really encourage. And I was talking to somebody this weekend, and I remember years and years ago, actually when I was a child, talking to the pastor sitting in his office, and he said, "You know where knowledge comes from?" And you know, you always get kind of gun shy answering questions from him because you know you're not going to get the answer right, and. I said, from reading the Bible. And he's like, "Well, where in the Bible do you get knowledge?" And well, I don't know. I thought it all was knowledge. And he said, from Proverbs. And he said, go home. He's like, there's 31 Proverbs in, or 31 chapters in the book. There's 31 days in this month. He's like, I want you to read one of them every day. And so I did, and I came back, and said, okay, I finished reading that. What should I read now? And he said, start over and do it again. And so I did it again, and I did it again, and I did it again. And you know what? I hadn't done it in a while. I started doing it here recently, and I've been really enjoying it. And it brings back, like John said, brings back a lot of things. And there's been a lot of times where I've been in a situation, and it's like, nope, this is, you know, it gives you insight on how to, you know, deal with somebody else, maybe that somebody that's not a Christian, maybe somebody that's attacking you. It gives you information on how you should be and what wisdom is, what knowledge is, what understanding is, and, you know, it's just, you know, it's a phenomenal tool. So you take it, apply it to your life, and encourage you to do it.
Amen. Amen.
You know,
amen.
As we're living in these times, you know, it's like, I got to get up in the morning and just remind myself, and part of my prayers is, you know, greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us. You know, as we look around, it's times are changing, and they're changing fast, and it's just it's kind of like a roller coaster ride right now. I mean, you're seeing things that, you know, you would have never expected to see before. Seems like just, you know, on local levels, on, you know, on state levels, on our national levels, and on our world levels. It's just, you know, it's like, where is everybody? Wake up, America. Wake up the world. I mean, and, you know, I know there's people that are out there that are waking up, and, you know, it is because of the times that we're living in, but at the same time, it's like, I keep thinking that there'd be more of them that'd be waking up. You know, it's like, you know, I passed an Escalade yesterday coming back from Loveland, and got behind it, and it had, you know, this bumper sticker, and it said that it had a rainbow flag on it. It had a, I can't remember what the other one was. And then it had this big sticker painted right across the back of this rig. It said, I'm everything that the right Christian wingers hate. And it was you could tell that they were a lesbian, that they had just absolutely nothing that, you know, that just basically against everything that we stand against. And you could read between the lines off the bumper stickers that were on the vehicle, and it's like, you know, wow. It just, you know, just talk about bold and brazen.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it's that time of harvest. You know, the tares are, they're beginning to stand up straight and tall and haughty and proud. And they want to be, recognized for their sin. They don't even hide it. They want to flaunt it. And it's disgusting. It absolutely is.
Yeah, and I think they're flaunting it pretty darn good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, more all the time.
But, you know, I mean, we've got prices. You know, you look at the price of oil, and price of oil's down, price of oil's down. You know, and it's like, sometimes it just feels like you can't please anybody either, because people are complaining when price of oil's too high, price of oil's too high, we need to get it down, there's no reason that oil shouldn't be more than $20 a barrel. It should be $20 a barrel, that's what you hear. You know, if people that do all the calculations, yep, it should be right around, it should be costing $20 a barrel, and gas should be a dollar a gallon, and this and that. As soon as oil gets down, everybody's complaining about oil's too low. Oh, man, we got to get oil prices back up. Oil prices got to go back up. You know, this is just too low. It's too low. It's too bad for our economy. It's too bad for, you know, this and that. And it's like, where can you find a, is there any happy medium in there?
Yeah, you know what's funny is, just like you say, people complain about all this stuff, no matter which way it is, and then you have those who believe that, you know, the earth is being depleted and climate change and all that other stuff. And I said, you know what? If we were obedient to Jesus Christ and we feared God like we once did, we wouldn't have to worry about all that, because God would take care of it all. Everything would run smoothly just like He planned it. There's nothing that happens that He doesn't allow to happen, period. So as soon as we get to that point where there's a revival, repentance, we fall upon our face and we cry out and ask for forgiveness, 2 Chronicles 7:14, we don't have to worry. We cannot figure out how to run this world. God can. He's the only one that can.
Yeah, absolutely. And He gives us instructions.
And they look at you like you got horns on your head or something. It's like, whatever. Yeah. Well, you know, obviously you don't read your Bible.
Well, and that's what I've been reading a lot of stuff on. I just read the book, Sin, How Sin Affects the Environment, that our pastor wrote, and I'll tell you what, phenomenal book. You know, nobody's read it, I encourage them to read it. And, you know, in there, it talks about, you know, how does sin affect the environment? You know, did sin have an effect and have climate changes in the days of Noah? Did sin have an effect on the climate changes in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, and you look at, you know, it gives you a whole different outlook on things after you read that book. And just want to throw that out there. I think the book's available for $5, and if nobody has it, I would strongly encourage them to get it. Just a quick read, but very good information. So that's available from Scriptures for America, and you can write to us if you'd like to get it.
Yeah, one thing I'm noticing is I meet with these about 14 to 16 men on Wednesday morning for a prayer breakfast, and they've kind of asked me to lead it because they're actually getting some truth that they're starting to understand. But we've been going through Romans and then create a list of questions, and it's funny when you hear the answers of most of the people around the table and then my answer, and they look at me and they're like, well, now, John, you have to have love, you know, love in your life, you got to love. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's true. We got enough people around here that Jesus loves me. We got to have at least one person that's fire and brimstone, you know.
Yep.
And some are starting to understand. Some are starting to realize it. But, you know, the ones, they don't complain when they're fat and happy, when they're making a lot of money. And a lot of people have made a lot of money in oil with the prices at $80 to $100 a barrel. But there's people right now that I've talked to several last night at a basketball game that's what they do for a living. They sell insurance to oil companies and things like that, and they're worried. They've never seen anything like it. They've lived through a lot of the rise and fall of oil, but no one's ever seen it drop from $100 to $20 a barrel.
Yeah.
And even OPEC is freaking out, because this is something I didn't realize, but in like Saudi Arabia and the Middle Eastern countries, those people, for the most part, they get checks, royalty checks from the government, and they're worried that their checks continue to diminish, that there'll be an uprising.
And there will be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The with the oil dropping, you know, just I was looking at some notes earlier this week from a year ago. Literally, from a year ago, middle of January, oil was like $84 a barrel. And they were predicting what would happen, because it had been up, I forget what it peaked at, over $120 a barrel, I think, $124. I don't really follow that whole lot.
I thought it was like $108.
But wherever it was. But it was, you know, $84 a barrel about a year ago, and they were predicting, and I found a chart, and it was $40 in oil's effect worldwide on different countries. And we shared it in a little review of the news a year ago, in the middle of January 2015. And at $40 in oil, a barrel for oil, it talks about how, you know, certain countries' economy grows. And ours is right there in the middle. Ours grows pretty healthy at what you'd call cheap oil, at least what they were saying, at $40 a barrel. But the two main countries that don't grow, whose gross domestic product is probably five times worse than ours gets better. Does that make sense? You know, when oil's cheap, and it's Saudi Arabia and the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, because that's where most of our oil comes from. And so cheap oil, you know, they are way down. And we grow. And they're down five times the amount that we grow. And that was a prediction just a year ago. And that was if it got to $40 a barrel. And just this past week, I think Tuesday, I think it was, the oil briefly fell below $30 a barrel, according to the Brent crude, the global benchmark. And then it settled out at like $30.22 a barrel. And it things that we have not seen. That's the first time that's happened in 12 years that it's been that low, since April of 2004. And it is. Things are changing. I saw a news. I didn't print it for here, but somebody had sent in an email, and it was a link to a report that talked about that what's happened over with OPEC is that they don't have the leadership that they've had in the past, and that each country over there for about the last year and a half has just been producing like crazy, that they have not stuck to the production limits that they have been doing since the late 60s, early 70s, you know, that drove this price of oil and gas up in the first place, and that they haven't been holding to those production limits for the last year and a half, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, all of a sudden there's this glut, this global, and that's what they're calling it, a global supply glut. John, I know you had mentioned that.
Yeah, I don't buy that, though.
A month ago.
When the U.S. becomes the biggest oil producer in the world, which was the case for the last, 3 to 5 years, through fracking, that's probably the main reason.
Well, it might be. I mean, know, but a lot of that's backed off now. You know, a lot of the U.S. production, you know, if it took, what, 3 or 4 years for the government to finally lift the export ban on oil, because it's...
Well, that's why they did it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talked about this earlier in the week, something that's probably more concerning than just about any of the other economic signs is the fact that there's no commerce ships anywhere traveling to deliver goods, and basically that's because the owners of these big shipping companies say that they can't operate their ships without a loss right now, because the demand for goods is so low that they can't fill these container ships, and so they're not moving. And if you look at the graphs, I guess Richard's going to show some of this tomorrow, but you can see by the maritime logs and by the satellite imagery of all the ships that they're all at port or close to land. In fact, it's kind of interesting when you look at it, but each ship has a number, and one of these graphs just shows each number of all those ships, and they're just all around. There's none in the ocean between the continents. The other thing that thought,
yeah, and there's another there. There's the one thing that anybody that's got internet can do, and it's actually a pretty awesome website. It's called vesselfinder.com. And if you type in, if you go to www.vesselfinder.com, it'll show you a live view of the map with all the satellite information off of all of the cargo ships. And yeah, you can, the neat thing about it is you can click on it and you can look at the name on it and see if it's moving, see how long it's been idle, see what kind of vessel it is, where it's based out of, what its home port is, and it's kind of a lot of fun. But it, if you go to that vesselfinder.com, you can see, just do it an expanded view, look at it from a distance, and see that everything's inland. There's very few ships that are going across the ocean there between China and the United States.
Yeah. Yep. The thought occurred to me the other day too. Think of this: it's taken them what, probably the last 10-15 years to move all of our manufacturing out of this country and into China, right? So now we've become dependent on almost everything we use day to day. Probably 80% of everything you see on the shelves in the stores is from China, right? Now all of a sudden you cut off that shipping channel, yep, and you cut off those goods, and what happens? In 3 months the shelves are empty. And it, the amount of time it would take for us to retool in this country and make everything again in this country, they know that.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
they play chess, we play checkers.
Yeah, the thing is, and this is something that me and Dad talked about, you know, years ago. We did several radio programs on it, and it was, it's a way of, you know, bombing factories. It's like, it's the difference, and we talked about it. This is the new World War III, because, you know, in World War I and World War II, we bomb factories over there, they bomb factories over here. You know, this is a silent war that's been taking place. It's been, hitting our factories. And the way that this war's been taking place is, you know, okay, all right, well, all of a sudden that, you know, we're building a coffee maker over here. They're making a coffee maker over there. They're using slave labor to do it. Nobody's getting paid, and they're using cheap materials. But you go to the store and you go to pick out a Walmart, how can you compete when somebody sees a coffee pot for $5 or $10? You know, on the shelf, and it looks identical to the one that, you know, is built here, but it cost you $150. And, you know, it was basically one thing after another, one item after another, that's been moved and taken from our factories that have been shut down, and they've built it over there. And they've done it, you know, it's under, oh, well, it's slave labor, it's this or that, but, you know, what it really was a war on our factories. And you take, for instance, is what's happened in the last year, 2 years, with the steel industry. Okay, yeah, even if you did get the factories open back up and you had them, where's your steel going to come from? Well, you know, under this new abomination that we've have in this land, you know, the steel mills, the steel factories have been shut down. So, basically we're dependent on steel coming over from China, coming over from Russia. You know, anyway, and that's a bad place to be in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And well, I think that they've done the same thing with the scrap prices. They've got the scrap prices, down to an all-time low as far as,
yep,
metal scrap. Who's buying it up? Who's buying it up? It's still being bought up by Chinese factories that are melting it down and taking it back to China. You know, so they get it down, they get it to a price they want or that they can afford, or you know, the price that, that suits them the best is what it boils down to.
Right.
And then they buy it up, and then they run the prices of it up, and then, you know, I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah. But the other thing we got to realize, too, that when the when there's no demand for goods, there's no raw materials moving either. That's why there's no ships moving.
Right. That's that, you can Google that as well. That it's called the Baltic, B-A-L-T-I-C, the Baltic Dry Good Index. And that basically does that. And I just learned about it this week. It's nothing I've never really tracked before, but it does. It tracks the movement of raw material, not just dry material, but the raw oil, you know, the oil and stuff as well to be processed. And, yeah, it's down record lows right now. And...
Yeah, they because said there's below 400.
Yeah, so little that's moving because of the demand. And so you can hear, you know, you hear the abomination talk about how great he made the economy and you know, the people, you can hear that kind of stuff, but you just don't see it. It you're not seeing it on a global scale. I don't know if you caught yesterday, just on Friday, the abomination called a moratorium. You know, that sounds very intellectual, doesn't it? Yes, we're calling a moratorium. What they did is they just, you know, basically put a gun to Wyoming's head. They called a halt to basically coal production on any federal land. Now, Wyoming is the number one coal-producing state and has been for years. 10 times, I think, more than the next state, which is like Virginia or West Virginia. And that producing that coal runs Wyoming's power plants. This state of Wyoming exports coal. I forget how many they say coal-related jobs. You know, like 100,000 statewide. That coal, you know, the companies that produce that coal, they pay federal taxes on that coal. They pay state taxes on that coal, the abomination says stop. you know,
but you know what? People are getting fed up with it too, and the states are starting to say, you know, I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, and you're absolutely right, John. You're seeing that with things like federal gun laws and things along those lines. That some of the states, some of the counties, some of the sheriffs have said, no, we're not gonna. That's a stupid law. Let me tell you, there's been books written. That's the, you know, that those are the beginning fires of a big fire. That those are the beginning steps to, you know, a final breakdown. Now, again, this isn't the only thing happening, but I think it's another point, it's another aspect of Babylon falling. You know, we've been praying, D.C. sorcery cease. And it's been happening. The people are starting to open their eyes. They're starting to see, you know, the man behind the curtain. That you know, things are not just as good and rosy and cheery as you see out there.
Yeah, I was reading an article this morning about that standoff in Oregon with the Bundys and all those patriots, and they're basically, the word out there is that they have to handle that with kid gloves. If they brought the military in and tried a Waco or a Ruby Ridge kind of scenario, they think that it would push the people to American Revolution. So, I mean, things are on the edge, to say the least. But to go along with what Jason was saying, I remember it somewhere in Proverbs when I found it. It's in Proverbs 23:23 that says, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding.
Yes.
Boy, if that's not what our pastor preached for 30 plus years. Truth, that's what's important.
It is. And that's, you know, that's how many times would he talk about that, you know, the people that followed him were what do you call them? Truth junkies. And because that's what, isn't that what Christ said that he is? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's exactly what it is, you know. You read that parable of the wise and foolish virgins, And that's what they were saying. Nope, you go ahead and get your own. You buy some for yourselves. Because there's a day coming that, you know, right now you can still do that very thing. You can buy truth. Now, you can't buy it with silver and gold, but there's still a price to pay. But there's going to come a day, that parable of the wise and foolish virgins, when the bridegroom comes, when Jesus Christ returns is what that means, I do believe. When the heavens split open and he returns riding a white horse with fire in his eyes and a flaming sword in his hand, which is that word of God, and that, you know, and he is going to rule and reign by the words that come out of his mouth, by the words that we have in his Bible, it's going to be too late then. It's going to be too late to go buy that truth. It's going to be too late to go buy that oil of understanding that the parable of the wise and foolish virgins talk about. It's going to be too late then. You know? But I'm looking out. The sky's not split open yet. So today, this morning of the 16th, it's not too late. But you better get that truth. You better buy that truth and seek that understanding while you still can, while it's still day.
You know, in a way, we have it a lot easier than our pastor did, because when he started, wrote the book America the Conquered over 25 years ago, I believe, he had an insight. He had a calling. He had a prophecy. You know, he had the prophets leading. And today, when you see these things happening, it's much easier to get people to give a second thought and to maybe look into it as, there might be something to this. But think of the battle that he had for so many years when
15 years for something that he said was going to happen for it to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So like I say, we have it much easier than he did, because people, they know something's wrong. They can see something's wrong. And even those who have rested on their wealth for generations, you know, inheritance of stocks and bonds and living off of the dividends and all that, including, you know, people in my family. And they've always thought, oh, you're crazy, you know. And what's interesting is when you're on a phone call and you get stuck on there for an hour and a half, you can pretty much hold the phone away and not even listen and just say, because it's all talking about themselves pretty much. But anyways, the one way to get rid of them is start to talk about these kind of things, and they're like, oh, well, got to go. They don't want to hear it. But now, when they see Babylon crumbling, they're like, wow, what do we do? Well, what can I do? And I said, well, I don't know what to tell you. If I were you, I'd get your life right with God.
Right.
I'd get baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. I'd get clothed with Christ. I'd get into that watery grave of baptism and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and have your name entered into the Lamb's Book of Life, because none of this other stuff matters.
And John, what you described is what you read in Proverbs: buy truth. Now, it's a free gift. You know, I think we'd all agree on that. It's a free gift. It wasn't free to him. It, our Lord and Savior paid a terrible price, the ultimate price for it. But he offers it free to us. But you have to buy it. There's a cost, you know, and that may sound like double talk or double think, but it's not. You know, because the word says it. Go buy that oil of understanding. Buy truth. Well, how do I buy that? Well, you pay the price for it. But there's repentance involved, and there is reading of the word involved, and there is, Jason, as you so aptly brought it out, absolutely applying it. You know, we're not to be just hearers, but what? Doers of the word. You know. And that
our
word,
our pastor paid quite a price as well.
Absolutely, he did.
Over the years,
he did. Gave up a great, high-paying, great benefit government job that people just earnestly desire. Nope. There's a price, and you know that it's a different price for each and every one of us. You know, it kind of ties in with, you know, Christ says, "Take up your cross and follow me." You know, that's a type of buying it. Hey, there's some things you have to give up. And the number one thing, and that's one of the, I think, the big reason that so many people don't. The one thing that people don't want to give up is their sin.
Yep,
they don't know.
It's pleasurable.
That's right. It's pleasurable for a season, right? And again, the Bible tells us that, and it is pleasurable for a season. We've all sinned. Oh, it feels good for a little while, you know, or it might make you feel good for a little while, but just for a little while. It's just a season, you know. But when you do buy truth, and you buy it with giving up your sin as part of it, I think, in repentance, it opens up a whole new world. It really does. You know, that was one of the things that really made sense with this Anglo-Israel message that our pastor taught with us, my wife and I, when we were converted to Christian, to be Christians, was it was truth. It answered the questions. You know, it really did. It tied all the gospel together. It tied the Old Testament and the New Testament. It answered the questions because it's truth. And you know, when you obey Proverbs and you buy that truth, well, I think Jesus said something along the lines of, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And it's a great thing to not be a slave to sin. It's a great thing to not be a slave to this Babylonian system. Doesn't mean that we're hermits living up in the mountain. No, but when you've been taken from that dominion of darkness into the dominion of light, when you've been redeemed, it is. Truth is a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, it's exciting times.
Amen. Amen.
I want to give the phone number out. I don't know.
Yeah, we're live this morning. 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, got about 10 minutes left in the program this morning. It is a live program coming to you from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. Working cattle and horse ranch, and got a lot of snow on it right now. It is winter time for sure. Sure feeling what they call the El Nino moisture effects in the wintertime here, and good snow in Colorado as well, and cold temperatures. It's kind of the way it's supposed to be, I think, in the wintertime. And you know, we're sure enjoying it. We do, before we run out of time, want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can do that. You know, sometimes we just have people show up at the church, and you know, we'll welcome you there. But we'd sure appreciate it if you give us a call or a text or something. Let us know you're coming by. We always like that heads up, and maybe it's just to have an extra pot of coffee on for you. But we'd appreciate that. But you don't have to physically come to La Porte to come to church with us. You can join us through the miracles of technology and the insight that our pastor had so many years ago. You can join us at the website for the live video streaming. And the website is scripturesforamerica.org. And right there, as soon as you click on there on the upper left-hand side, you can click on the live video stream. And then it'll give you one more choice. How do you want to watch it? Windows Media Player, Flash Player, to your iPhone. There's probably some other ways there, aren't there, Jason? I'm familiar with those two.
Satellite. We got all kinds.
Yeah. So, you know, just about any way to join us. We try to make, you know, it as easy as possible. And that starts at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 11 Central and noon on the East Coast. And, you know, not to boast, any boasting we do, we boast in the Lord, but our... You know, our pastor in this little church out here, I think, was one of the very first in the country to start live streaming their church services. Now, a lot of the big ones, they on Sunday morning, you know, they'll record it, and many of them started doing that. They'd record it and get it down to public TV or public access or the radio TV station later in the day, you know, to play it an hour or two later. But as far as the live streaming, because the pastor came up with the idea, And I remember we were at the Religious Broadcasters Convention when we first started doing this, and the National Association of Broadcasters that would meet out in Vegas, and asking people, you know, telling them what we were doing and how we were doing it and what, and asking them, you know, how we could improve and this and that. And, you know, it was not being done in the mainstream out there. It wasn't. You know, we saw all kind of areas where, oh, yeah, well, we record this. This is how you record it. And then, you know, in just a 20-minute rendering, then you have this service available for rebroadcast and on and on and on. And but great gains. And it's just been the leading of the Holy Spirit to be able to allow us to do that. And then, Jason, you've stepped right in there and just advanced it. Certainly beyond my understanding, and how we stream it out and record it and have it available for DVD Church to mail out on Monday. So,
yeah, it's definitely come a long way. You know, back in the days when it started, it was zip tied some video cameras up here in the corner and there.
Yes.
And people's running all over the place, and everything's gotten to be more advanced as technology's come available, and as we've got a better understanding of how to do it. You know, but at the same time, it's like, I'll tell you what, I tell people all the time when I talk to them about how we do it and what we're doing, keep it in your prayers, because it's, you know, a lot of the equipment that we use is old and outdated. And,
yes.
You know, running on borrowed time, too. So I know that it's the Lord that keeps it working. And, you know, just for everything that we do here, as far as from the radio equipment to the, you know, to the streaming equipment, keep it in your prayers. We do appreciate that. And, you know, we pray for those tech angels to assist us on a regular basis and to, you know, help it keep everything running smooth, too, because it's a... You know, when you're dealing with that much equipment, one glitch can cause you a lot of time. And
yeah.
So we do cover your prayers in that area for sure.
Amen. Well, Jason, I think we've got time for a phone call here, and the phones are ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Good morning. Good.
Good, good. Hey, I'm going to make it quick this morning. You guys use a quote, and I'm trying to find it for a friend. It is about, I believe it's from a so-called rabbi, where he says it's incorrect to call a modern-day Jew an Israelite. What book is that from, or who is that from? Do you recall?
It is from the... Jason, is it 1980 or 1988? One of those.
1986 Jewish Almanac.
Yeah. And what year was that again, Jason?
1986
Jewish
Almanac. And basically, that was Jews writing Jewish Almanac. And... you know, they have it right there. It's right there in the front of the book. I can't remember. I wish I could remember the page number. I think it's page 15. And I've noticed that on different versions of the Jewish Almanac, that it varies. There were several different versions of it. Some of it's on page 15. Some of it's on, it was on a couple pages before, and I think I found it a couple pages after in another one, too. So.
Yeah, we had a member of the church that was coming there with us for a couple of years, and I think did you find him that one, or did he find it on eBay or something last year, Jason?
I was trying to find one for him, and actually, Shannon and I have found him one.
Okay, so, you know, if you're familiar with the internet, you should be able to Google that and find that, but it's 1986, you said, Jason? 1986 Jewish Almanac. That's the title of the book.
Very good. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Wish me well. I got a contact out, not a contact, a friend from years ago, and I am known as the resident anti-Semite. And so he got a dig in on me the other day, and so I gave him some quotes from Christ himself about what he said about the so-called Jews. But so I'm working on him. I'm trying not to come off too harsh where I push him away, but
sure.
I thought that quote from the Jewish Almanac would be a really good thing to kind of send his way and let him know over that.
Sure.
I asked him to ask, I asked him to give me examples of the good fruit from God's so-called chosen over there, and he wasn't able to give me any, so I sent him a link for the USS Liberty as an example of some rotten fruit. Anyhow, you guys know the story. Thank you so much for all you do. I really appreciate it. You guys have a great weekend and a great morning, okay?
Sure. Where are you calling from this morning?
This is James from out of Idaho, North
right,
Idaho.
James.
Beautiful
great.
North Idaho.
Amen. Hey, thanks. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, guys. Take care.
You know, there's that truth. There's that truth. And, you know, when you buy that truth, whoo, you pay a price for that truth. You do. You do. Because the world has bought the lie. You know, the world, it ties in with so many scriptures, you know, when back the prophets of old were saying, you know, my prophets prophesy falsely and my people love to have it so. You know, God himself put that out and as a warning to his people. You know, and that certainly applies today. And so you might think about that, you know, to the guy that you're going to go listen to tomorrow, if you're going to a Judeo-Christian church, a church that puts something before Christ, is he prophesying falsely? And do you love to have it that way? If you're going out to one of those Judeo-Christian churches that puts Judaism before Christ, you know, that's not how this country was founded. You can read the book, The Light and the Glory, and you don't see a Judeo-Christian ethic in that. And that's a true history book. No, it was built on a Christian ethic, putting Jesus Christ first and foremost in everything, in business, in government, in our lives, in school, in the churches, in every aspect of our life. When we do that, we are blessed as a people. We certainly are. Well, Jason, we're about out of time. Thanks for joining us this morning. And again, folks, we invite you to church tomorrow. And scriptures4america.org, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Good Lord willing, and the snow don't fly too much. Supposed to have a little snow come in about 2 in the morning. We'll certainly be there. And but we do, we invite you. If you want to write to us, I know many visit our website, but if you want to write to us, maybe you don't have computer access. Our address is Scriptures for America, and that's at P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, that's LaPorte, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We'd love to hear from you. We still ask for a reception report, so let us know, you know, when you heard us. Well, thanks, Jason, and hey, we're heading down. We'll see you there a little bit later today.
All right, we'll see you.
All right.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, they hide.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.
move them out.